got fired up due to what I said.
Through your answers, yeah. Yes. In this podcast series, we will get you thought leaders and their vision for tomorrow.
AI is all good, futuristic, but as I said, we have to understand the hype. Tata Steel is a fantastic concept, fantastic initiative. Where our senior leaders, they appointed reverse mentors. The reverse mentors were people in the age group of early 30s or so late 20s.
I'm Gaurav Mandlecha and welcome to Fired Up by Tata Steel. We have Jayanta today with us. Jayanta is the group CIO of Tata Steel. He is a part of the senior leadership and handles AI, IT and digital transformation for the business. I'm so glad that I'm speaking to a leader today who is not just someone who understands technology, but also the implementation of technology in business and create value. Welcome, sir. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Jayanta, I want to start off our podcast with your personal transition within the group. So, you were at TCS and then you moved to Tata Steel. Earlier, you would sell to CIOs and now you are a CIO yourself. So tell us a little about this move, what prompted the move and how have things changed from a decision-making point of view in both of these roles?
No, sure, sure. So it was not planned by me initially. So there was Tata Steel management decided to get somebody from outside with a kind of a global exposure in IT because they wanted to kind of rejuvenate IT, drive digital transformation. So they discussed with Tata Group management and also TCS management because TCS is the IT arm within the group.
Correct.
So no better place to go and ask for help. And there were choices. So my name was proposed and then I'm happy that it all worked out and it was worth taking that decision to move. So, and as you rightly said, that throughout my career in TCS, I have been working with all CIOs across all different countries, different cultures, different companies, Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies, learned a lot from them. So this was a good move in the career and it gives a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. But the key difference is that a consultant, when you go and position a particular solution, you have a different vantage point, right? Once a consultant leaves, actually the real work starts from that point onwards.
Correct.
That how the solution will be deployed, whether the solution is being used, adopted, accepted, whether it is surviving the test of time, a lot of challenges is in the deployment phase of the solution. So that gives a different vantage point. Second is that being a technologist, being a consultant, most part of my career, I can see through some of the sales and marketing and the outer layer. So that is an advantage. That is an advantage that helps to take decisions. And the decision making in that side of the world was primarily, it was about how to create the right solution given the perspective the customer has given you, how to construct the right deal which is profitable for both the customer as well as TCS at the time. So it was more or less in that and delivery of posts and all of that. Right now it is about, is a business KPI moving?
Correct.
Okay. Are we really solving the business problem? The technology project is good, the technology is working, the solution is implemented, but has it really made any difference to the business? That's the key. If that does not happen, then there is no point, right? And then the buying decision, there was one was selling, here you are buying.
Correct.
How do you make the choice? How do you take the decision? What will be the right decision for the company over long term? So I think that's a fundamental vantage point difference. And there are advantages of a technologist or a person who has been in an IT industry to become a CIO, you get that advantage.
Correct.
Intrinsically.
I want to understand from your experience as a leader, how do you see that, is this solution working for me versus not? So what are these leadership traits that you think benefit you when you think about decision making at your level?
Yeah, when it comes to leadership, I would like to talk about three key learnings that I have in my entire leadership journey. One is that in any role and specifically in any leadership roles, first and foremost is establishing trust and credibility. Mm-hmm. That's up here. That's very important because if you are not able to create that trust and credibility, your personal credibility, then it will be very difficult to sell internally.
Correct.
Right? Because that will become challenging. That I will put as number one. Number two is understanding the context is very, very critical. It is not about the technology expertise or the functional expertise. That you will possess anyway because you are in the craft for so many years and decades.
Correct.
The point is that are you reading the room right? Are you reading the context right? It is not about domain knowledge. I am not a steel expert. I don't have any domain knowledge on steel. Neither did I have any understanding of the domain before I joined Tata Steel. I do understand a little bit of the context now, right? Because you're leading from within the context. The methods may be different, right? In every context changes, the methods also change, right? So that is important. That I will put as second, but as important as the first one. And the third is fundamentally the communication. So communicate the goals clearly, lay out the vision, lay out the plan, and clearly communicate the goals objectively so that your team can then align. That alignment is extremely important. It is not only the IT team or the digital team, it is the entire organization that we are trying to achieve something and how will we get there. So in the context of Tata Steel, to answer your first question, so the charter that was given was very clear. That create business value through digital transformation. And as Tata Steel, we want to become a leader in digital manufacturing industry by 2025. I think that was a clearly stated vision.
Okay.
We wanted to be the benchmark, right? So that was an audacious goal. And there were some objective targets for the savings potential that we create. And it is a manufacturing industry, it's a highly physical industry. So how to get about that? So the idea was to focus on what is important for business. The idea of KPI movement, if it doesn't move the needle on KPI, then nothing else matters.
Correct.
The technology can work, but if the business doesn't benefit from that, there's no point in having a technology. It will only sit at cost. Second is, you talked about the challenges, is the selling. There's a lot of internal selling in the positive way that you have to ask for money. There is a lot of investment that you have to put upfront, right? A CIO's primary job is to make the right investment, which will drive the right buy decisions, and then you go and implement technology for business transformation. So that was a very, very crucial part in the, and it's still important part of the role. So I think that whole competency of selling as a consultant, you transport that in this role also. It is essentially selling in a positive manner.
But to internal stakeholders.
To internal stakeholders to get the right investment for the right decisions, and then you take it forward.
Got it. And if I may ask, like, how do you rate yourself to the mandate that you were given when you were joining in? That is the kind of business transformation that we want to deliver by 2025. So if there are a few highlights that you can share about that.
I think we are pretty much there, but then it is a moving goal. So
of course.
Otherwise, see, at that point, we wanted to be a leader in digital transformation by 2025. I think we have created, we have our share, if you will. We have done a lot of stuff and we have a long way to go. But I think we are, as a company, we are pretty happy with what we have been able to achieve as collectively between business, IT, leadership, all of it put together. But going forward, then we are now putting more audacious goals. So if you ask me today, which was not how I looked at it in 2018 or in the prior years, now we look at this whole digital transformation program as one side is a manufacturing excellence.
Correct.
Okay. A completely different level of performance in manufacturing. We talk about in detail later on. Other one is customer experience. And this is where I think if you look into the manufacturing industry, you will see that it tends to gravitate towards manufacturing excellence.
Correct.
Right?
Because
it's all about optimization. It's all about yield, energy, throughput, quality, productivity. Right? It's all about doing it. It's a lean manufacturing, and Tata Steel is well known for that, right? And we have done a lot of remote operations. We'll talk about it later. But when it comes to customer, even if you look at many other companies who have kind of pioneered lean manufacturing, they are now feeling that maybe that flexibility that today's customer needs, customer of 2018 and customer of 2024, 2025 is very different.
Correct.
And is dramatically changing. Today, every individual customer has their own individual needs, which we call it the hyper-personalization or personalization, right? A steel industry never used to operate that way. It used to be volume.
Correct.
Right? So we have to get there. And how to switch? That is how I'm now created. We created a program called Customer Excellence. So there is a manufacturing excellence program running, which is mostly focused on 8QP, yield, energy, throughput, quality, productivity.
Okay.
And then there is a customer experience, which is about this immediate delivery. You have the immediate order confirmation.
Correct.
You have real-time order confirmation. You have real-time information sharing with the customer. Where is my order?
Tracking
I can
details,
track it, yeah. Right? So that is what we want to bring in, right? And along with customer delight and customer satisfaction. So I would say that Tata Steel has three global lighthouses in World Economic Forum, Industry 4.0.
Okay, so what is a lighthouse?
Lighthouse is World Economic Forum has an assessment framework mm-hmm. in advanced manufacturing. So they will come and assess individual sites, not at a company level, individual sites.
Okay.
And they will see what is their Industry 4.0 maturity. And extremely stringent. I also sit as a jury
on the
advanced manufacturing. So I know how many the applications that come in. It is extremely stringent, extremely stringent. And we went through the process. And the first one to go was IJmoden, our Netherlands site.
Mm-hmm.
Then a more modern plant, Kalinganagar, Tata Steel Kalinganagar.
Okay.
So that became a lighthouse. Then Jamshedpur, which is a 117-year-old plant then. So we have all flavors. We have an European flavor. We have a modernized, sensorized, more modern plant, which is 5-6 years old at that time. And the other one is a 117-year-old plant.
Wow.
All are global lighthouses. 78% of our steel production happens from a global lighthouse advanced manufacturing industry 4.0 site. So, which we take a lot of pride in. So, we'll also apply for other sites as we speak. Meramandali, we have acquired a lot of other companies after that. So, that will also go through the same level of maturity. So, while we apply, we ourselves assess that has it become mature after have gone through the 7 layer of architecture? Are we really creating business value? Because that framework only asks one question at the end of the day. Have you created business value? Then only Industry 4.0 is successful. And then if you have, then what are the technologies you implemented? Are they latest in the stack and all that stuff? That is the question they will ask.
Interesting.
I think we have done a lot on the manufacturing excellence and we have done a lot on the customer experience also. We have an Asiana portal through which we sell steel online, right?
Okay.
And we have others.
Do people but buy steel online? I'm curious because
yes,
it's such
so they
a...
are. They okay. are. It's a substantial business for us now.
Okay.
So, but you actually, it's an omni-channel. You have services and solutions that we offer.
Correct.
So you can buy steel online. There is an individual home builder, right? So if you want to build a house, you will need steel. You will need cement. You will need others, and you need the expertise to build a house as well. So we try to curate that for the end customer, right?
So like an end-to-end solution per
solution, but we don't sell all the solutions. We help them in creating
them
that,
together.
Putting them together. But we actually sell the steel and the products and services and solutions there. So that is very much a part of it. And sometimes you come online. Why I say omni-channel is, you find the lead and you like something online, and then you go to the distributor or the dealer
offline.
From that channel. You can buy it offline. It happens in retail also. So, that is happening in steel today. As
so, you're
speak.
Saying the discovery happens online, but the purchase happens offline?
Both. Discovery online, purchase offline, as well as we actually...
Online. Okay.
It's the inline online transaction also happens.
Of course, yeah.
So, that is also possible.
And I must commend you and the group for being so futuristic, right? When it comes to initiatives, not just say at the country level, but also on a global level. Plus, you're getting yourself audited by, say, a world-renowned organization for these initiatives. So, I think that just builds a case for Stronger Tomorrow. So, kudos to you and the group
Thank you.
That. While, of course, we can speak about the good parts, I think the mark of a true leader is also someone who can understand what these challenges are and then preempt what could be future challenges and sort of build towards it. So, in your journey of digital transformation, what are common challenges that you've seen in a manufacturing setup that usually come up? And if you could just allude that to Tata Steel's experience, I think that'd be very lovely as well.
First is mindset, and that comes here.
Okay.
Because it's an extremely intensive physical industry.
Correct.
Okay. So, people are used to be in the plant, operate the machines, see it firsthand, okay, listen to noises, do those gemba and line works. Everything is important. So, it is ingrained. Now, when you say that, okay, now you can do it from somewhere else, it's easier for me to say. Okay, it's very easy for me to say but it is extremely difficult and challenging for the people who are walking the shop floor day in, day out to come out of their mindset and say that, okay, now I will sit behind a laptop, look at a screen and do the same job. Technically, it is possible. That transformation Tata Steel business has done It is not easy for them to do, but they have done it. What they have done, and it happened in over a period of time, right? So they saw that, okay, I can do a virtual line work. I said that in 2018, but now business is saying that we want to do virtual line work.
Interesting.
So earlier I used to push that, okay, now they are pulling, okay, that I want this, nice. More cameras, I want more angular view so that I can see this, I can fly drones here. They are only taking those decisions, I am just enabling that, right? So the paradigm has shifted, but much more, many more miles to go, so that is one. Second is that as a manufacturing industry, I think, and this is not true for Tata Steel, because we have made the investments that we needed to make. But I feel that there is a lack of investment in the manufacturing sector towards digital. Sometimes the priority is given to some other shop floor activities than digital. This is my view from whatever I have seen. But not in Tata Steel, but elsewhere.
Since you sit on the board of Advanced Manufacturing Council, also, so you have that.
Yeah, that is one. Others is that also connection and all that. I think that we can do a little bit more upfront investment in the sector, which will really help. And there is a lot of capital investment that is required for sensorization and all that stuff. And it doesn't give you immediate ROI. Right, you have to be directionally right. You have to understand others have benefited. You have to really stay at the problem, and really it should be a board level and a management level agenda. Otherwise, it will never work. It cannot be just yet another digital project and nice thing. It has to be in the core. So that is the other thing. Yeah, I think, and the third aspect, as I said, is data. Is a big challenge. It is still a big challenge, because technology will not work unless data is right. You can do cloud.
Correct.
And people are doing so. A lot of people are doing cloud. A lot of people are doing public cloud. My advice is that let us also look at private cloud, because public cloud is costly.
Yeah.
6 times costlier than private cloud.
Okay.
Right. So some of it, hyperscalers are required for certain technology to work, but not all of it. So we have to have that determination. AI is all good, futuristic, but as I said, we have to understand the hype. We have to make it real on the ground. It has to deliver to a business case. But these two things people are still talking about. I am really struggling. Seldom find people talking about data, which is the fuel.
Correct.
Which gets democratized because of cloud and feeds the AI. And that is the most boring, difficult activity.
Right.
Okay. People don't want to work on data. And it's a business asset, end of the day. Okay, while people talk about lot about processes in manufacturing, and we have to do that, processes are extremely important, but if you bring in data, it will only enable the processes, and sometimes it will remove the bottlenecks of processes as well. It will really give you insights, it will leapfrog. So that is where we have to, those challenges are real and we need to work on it.
Got it. So the three challenges that I'm sort of taking away, first is the mindset, given it is a very manufacturing operations first mindset that people have had. I think that needs to evolve. Second is from the board, and I think from the leadership level, active investment of capital, because these are important investments you have to do to be sort of future ready, ready for tomorrow. And the third that you're mentioning is data, which is the boring part, but to be able to fuel efficiencies, you need the data to be there in the system.
Yeah. And overarching is that it has to be business led.
It has to be. Okay, so the business case comes first and then all of these sort of follow. Absolutely. Jayanta, wonderful insights. Honestly, I personally have a lot of takeaways, and I'm pretty sure our viewers who are watching this podcast will do too. I want to get to the most interesting part that I was looking forward to, because I, of course, read a little about you online through my research, but I'd want to know the real Jayanta outside of work as well. So I have like very simple pointed questions, and I'd love to know a little about that from you. Like at Tata Steel, I've heard that, you know, you very actively reverse mentor people, right? Why do you do it? And perhaps from this, what have you learned?
Okay, so it is a concept that Tata Steel started way before I joined Tata Steel. I learned it from Tata Steel. Is a fantastic concept, fantastic initiative, where our senior leaders, they appointed reverse mentors. The reverse mentors were people in the age group of early 30s or so late 20s, just joined.
Correct.
It is like the granddaughter teaching the nanny or the grandma to use the iPhone. Okay. That kind of stuff. Because and they get it very quickly. And so it is the senior leaders working with those young people to understand what are the nuances of technology, right? Something, it's a very private conversation. It is a mentor-mentee kind of a relationship where the art of possible is understood.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know about it. You can be pretty open in asking those questions in a private setup between a mentor and a mentee. And you learn. I also benefited. When I learned AI, academics thesis, was way back, right? So that is first principle. Then there is so much change in data science and generative AI. So I had sessions with the youngest member in the team who just joined. Who told me about, this can be done through Gen AI, this is the thing, what is the temperature? I didn't know about what this temperature control and what goes into LLM, how the file indexing is happening. All those technicalities, they will take half an hour session with me, just me and the youngest member in the team or few others in the team, and that way you learn, and you learn pretty fast.
Wow. I think it's a brilliant practice at Tata Steel because it works for like both parties, right? You are able to give the business context from that point of view. The person at times is able to tell you what are current trends, how is the newer generation Absolutely. Thinking. Absolutely. I think that's a great practice.
All of our senior leaders have gone through this, and that is an immense benefit that all of us have got.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In the next episode, let's find out about the evolution of digital technology.
I can go back only 35 years because that is where I got introduced
firsthand
to this industry. So data got democratized with help of cloud.
How does a digital transformation journey for, say, like Tata Steel or the manufacturing industry also look like?
We talked about the data layer. That is the most crucial, the most boring, most difficult, seldom understood. Nobody wants to work on data.